Welcome to The Project of You, a podcast where a normal everyday person, me,
and me, Azita, an expert in relationship and trauma
and personal development and healing and letting go and all of the things that you help people with, sit together and talk about life.
Yes. And everything is important in between.
Absolutely. Everyday topics. The dash
in between. Have you heard about that?
What is it?
The dash in between poem.
No.
Oh, it's very interesting.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything in between. I know exactly.
In between, from birth to death. On your tombstone.
Yeah. Oh, the dash from the year you were born.
So
yeah.
That's all that matters. Like how you lived your dash. Now we are
getting
off to something else, but yeah.
Well, welcome to the next episode. We are going to be talking about a topic that I have been obsessed with ever since you taught it to me. So we recently had the most amazing retreat called The Power Within.
Oh, yes.
I've become a completely different person, obviously, and I have not stopped talking about it. And one of the many things that you taught us during that retreat was the difference between confidence and self-esteem. I didn't know there was a difference.
Yeah, like many people, they don't know that.
And people who meet me and people my whole life have always said, you have so much confidence. And I do. I'm a very confident
person. That makes people
person.
Confused. People get confused. You go, I've got a lot of confidence.
Then why don't I love myself? Or why can't I put that self-love into practice when it comes down to it? And you taught us, well, you might have a lot of confidence, but you don't have self-esteem. And I was like, mind blown.
Yes.
So can you refresh my memory? What
and
is the difference?
Self-esteem actually is a modern term.
Okay.
For flotia. Flotia.
Okay.
Like the Greek Latin.
Oh, okay.
Words for self-love.
Okay.
So when we're talking about self-esteem, we're literally talking about self-love.
Yeah.
So it's complex. You know, when you're talking about confidence, people think you're talking about self-esteem or vice versa. When you talk about self-love, people think you talk about self-care.
Yeah.
And it's all entangled. Like, yes, they are entangled, but they're also very separate.
Yeah.
And this is where the confusion arises.
So what's the difference? What is the difference between confidence and self-esteem?
If I'm going to say it in a very simple version, confidence is what you see
externally
from me.
Yeah.
Self-esteem is how I feel about me.
Internally.
How I view myself. How I view myself may be very different with how you view me.
Wow. Yeah.
So if you tell me that you are beautiful, you are smart, you are talented, you are the best therapist in the world.
Yeah.
Which you often
do. Which you are. That's true. Yeah.
If I don't believe this inside and I don't feel it, that's where my self-esteem is not fully
they're not matching up.
They're not matching up with what's inside and what is outside.
I don't think it matches up for most people, because I feel like the culture that we have, it's all about cultivating confidence. It's self-esteem, I feel like it's ignored, because people go to the gym and build up your confidence, or do public speaking to build up your confidence.
Or they say fake it until you
make
it.
Fake it until you make it. And like,
we keep encouraging people to fake it.
Yeah.
Show something else that you are.
Until you trick yourself into believing it.
Yes.
And confidence is important. It really is.
Absolutely.
It's crucial.
It's your ability.
Yeah.
Confidence is your skill to do something.
Yeah.
It's your ability.
It's your achievements.
To do
it's your,
something.
Yeah.
So I've got a degree hanging on the wall that shows that I had the ability to go to university.
That gives you confidence. Yeah.
However, if I don't believe in myself, if I don't love myself, this is even going to affect.
Well, your self-esteem is what gave you the power to go and get that degree. You know what I mean? Because you believed in yourself even before you had that achievement. You believed in your abilities because already as a you were...
That is probably...
Not true. Not true. Really?
Yes.
But what made you go and get your... Was it delusion or...
No, it wasn't delusion.
You believed in yourself because you were... Everyone
actually,
was always telling
I didn't.
You. Really?
I didn't. You remember that. I when I enrolled in university, it was just a test to see if I'm smart or not.
Okay, that's interesting.
So it wasn't like, because I'm smart, I'm going to go enroll in university.
Yeah.
So many of those university degrees are out there. It's either been forced by parents.
Yeah.
Go get this university
or else.
Degree.
Yeah.
Or else. Or you feel like university degree going to save my life, or it's going to give me a career. It's going to... So it's not really...
Well, see,
it's not
like
it's not the chicken or egg fest or egg or chicken fest. It's combination of everything. But however, because I start getting good marks in university, that increased my confidence.
Confidence, see, I feel like confidence is given to you from external sources. Mm-hmm. This is how I understand it. And self-esteem is given to you from internal sources. You give it to yourself.
Self-esteem is an internal work.
Yeah.
It's a very complicated work that you need to do internally. And sometimes the best way of doing it, and if you remember in our retreat, we were talking about it and why it was so healing and why it was so transformative, is to bring it out.
Yeah.
Whatever is inside that you're holding in.
Yeah.
You know, some of them you might think, okay, yeah, I think I'm pretty enough, but part of me also think I'm not.
Yeah.
Bring it out.
Yeah.
Put it out there. It's an internal work that needs to be processed.
Yeah.
When it's out of your mind, when it's out of your head.
Yeah.
You verbalize it. You give it life by writing it in a journal.
Mm-hmm.
You question yourself. So it's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yeah. But it's good work. It's rewarding
work.
It's
a good
work.
It's that pain you get after a gym session.
Yeah.
You feel satisfied.
Yeah.
So that, the beginning of this podcast, I talked about self-love,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Greek Latin word of self-love. This is your view of yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's what the word esteem really is. So when you hold someone in high esteem, you have the utmost respect and love for that person. Like think of your idols and we had this when I was at one of my lowest points in my life. And you were trying to help me cultivate self-love, which was very difficult. It was like drawing blood from stone at that point.
Remember, we actually, in one of our podcasts, I remember that we talked about it, but I'm going to ask you again.
What?
Do you love yourself?
I... I'm getting to love. But I respect myself a little bit more now. I respect myself a little bit more now. It's still hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for me. It's hard for me to ask for things.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you an answer that perhaps will make you more genuine when you're saying it. Because the reason you couldn't say yes.
It couldn't come out. Yeah.
It's because you can always say, they're a part of me that I really, really do love. And they're a part of me that I really, really need to work on it, and I'm doing the work.
Yeah.
And that's true for everybody.
Yeah.
Including myself. They're a part of me that I love, they're a part of me that I'm working on it, and I'm really, focused on get to that transcendent levels of, you know, that becoming the best version of myself.
Yeah.
That's true for everybody.
Yeah.
So even if you feel like, no, I don't love myself.
No, I love myself. Like, yes. I love myself. But I love, like, I love a lot of things. And one of the things that we did in the retreat, one of the workshops that you guided us through was the different types of love.
Yes.
And how in ancient Greece, they had so many words for love because in English, we just have one word.
Love.
And we just say, I love myself. And I can also say, you know, I love
my
pizza and I love, yeah, my... I love Netflix and I love, and that doesn't really, it doesn't feel right to apply that to myself. But since that workshop, I'm working on self-esteem.
Yes.
So
much. You have towards yourself.
Because I've noticed there are areas where my self-esteem is strong. One of them is the way that I look is very irrelevant to me because I grew up quite ugly. I was an ugly duckling, but that's a good thing because I was never given confidence. I was never given compliments for the way that I looked when I was a kid. So I never developed a confidence, like an external connection to the external. I didn't have that. So I had to work on, okay, well, I need to find worth from something other than the external. And that was a really early exposure to developing self-esteem because I kind of had to.
Yeah.
As a result, in that area, I feel impenetrable. Like it is so, and I want to apply that to other areas of my life because when I'm in a room, there is like the most beautiful Victoria's Secret model could walk off the runway and into that room and it will not waver or affect my,
because your confidence,
because of my self-esteem, my confidence would be shattered because obviously externally there's no, you can't compare, but internally, because I have self-esteem, it doesn't really matter to me if there's a woman more beautiful or more tall or more beautiful hair or whatever it
is. Okay, so that means in terms of your look, you love your look.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So then.
Or it's not that I love my look. It's that there's more important things for me. I get self-esteem. I don't get confidence.
And by the way,
yeah,
there's nothing wrong by saying, I do love my look.
Yeah. But it's not my, the way that I look is not super high on my list of priorities. Like, you know me, I most of the time I've got messy hair or I've got, like, I'm not... It's not, I don't garner that self-love from the way I look externally because that was not a source of love for me growing up.
Yeah.
So it's just not, it's not an instinct for me to feel good from the external. It's irrelevant because I have that esteem for myself and that love for myself. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if I'm having a bad hair day. Mm. It's not going to rattle me. And I think that that's the difference between confidence and self-esteem, because confidence can be shaken easier than self-esteem can. The foundation of self-esteem is crucial.
Yes, with self-esteem, it does have some dark side as well.
Like what?
Narcissism.
But I feel like narcissists don't have. Narcissism is not self-love.
Yes, it's a false love that they have towards themselves.
But it's
So it's, yes, of course, if they ever go to therapy, they will understand that love is not a healthy love they have towards themselves. It's mainly they're protecting their flaws. But it is, in their view, it's how they love themselves above everything else and everyone else.
Yeah. From what I understand, narcissism is such a shame-based disorder, which you told
know.
Me. Yeah, yeah.
We know.
From
a,
what
a,
you've
a
told
therapist
me. Yeah, yeah, that's
but
what I mean.
But not a person that is...
No, but that person believes it's self-love, and it's not self-love. It's actually a very mutated form of shame. That's from what I can... understand.
Yes.
That's what narcissism
yes.
is, because real self-love doesn't look like that. It doesn't hurt other people, it doesn't put people down in order to position yourself above.
Yes.
It's like completely different.
A healthy version.
Yeah.
Like ego. We have a healthy ego, which is necessary, and we have an unhealthy ego, which is your enemy.
So what are some ways that people can work on their self-esteem? I know that's a big question.
Yes.
Because it depends on where you're at.
Yeah, exactly. So I did touch on this question a little bit earlier. It's to every doubt that you have about yourself, every fear that you have about yourself and about life, about just really dig in and bring them out of your head. Because some of them, and if you remember, we did another activity in the retreat when we released some of our beliefs that holding us back from moving forward and enjoying life.
Yeah.
And we did
the effigy, the burning.
Effigy, yeah. Burning, yes, we did that. So it's important to bring it out, write it in a piece of paper to see what it is. Is that true?
Yeah.
Because lots of our thoughts, this is the scary part, our memories, the thing that we are so sure that it was my experience could be absolutely not belong to me, but belong to my parents.
Yeah, generational trauma. Yeah.
Generational trauma that has been transferred, whether through the words and actions, or whether through DNA and genetics.
Yeah.
So it's really how you can do that, if that's the question. We have to start from the place of love and acceptance. Love and acceptance is that, you know, we had another exercise that I take you guys guided meditation and took you to your room when you were, you know, 8 years old and 9 years old. Start respecting yourself by speaking to yourself in a way that is not downgrading.
Yeah.
So start loving yourself. When you love something, when you love someone, no way that you talk to them and put them down with your words and language.
This is, so I remember when you were trying to help me cultivate self-love when I was in that dark space that I was talking about, and you said, picture the person that you look up to and respect. And it's like they're your idol. How would you treat that person? You would do, and you would make sure that everything was perfect for them. You would listen to them when they speak. You would respect their boundaries when they lay down a line. You would not cross it. But you also, you would accept their flaws. If they did something a little bit wrong, or if they said something a little bit wrong, you'd say, well, I understand them. I've looked at, like, think about, celebrity culture is a really great example of this. We have these idols that are complete strangers, and they can do no wrong. They can say something or do something, and we have so much understanding and empathy for them. Imagine applying that to yourself. Imagine if you became, if you started holding yourself in that high esteem and cultivated that respect and love and empathy. What would happen? How powerful would you become?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. It's that acceptance is, it's so important.
Yeah.
You know. And when I say acceptance is, I don't mean that, you know, sometimes people say, I am who I am and it is what it is.
Oh, no, no, no.
That's not acceptance.
No.
Acceptance is understanding where you are now and where you want to go. That acceptance I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, if you, if I get it every day, you know, in fact, clients, before you walk into my office, someone else was here, you know, almost 53 years old, and we were talking about changing the language around asking why. Why did I do that? You know, that blaming.
Mm.
Why did I do that? Why that person did that? Why, mm-hmm. why me?
Mm-hmm.
Why my child? Why my husband? Why life is so nasty to me? Why? So this is how you can start practicing
acceptance.
Acceptance by stop asking the question, why? Because until you ask why, that means you haven't accepted.
And that means you don't know. That means you don't know. And so you're confused.
And you're you will never know.
Yeah.
You will never know.
I saw a great quote that said, every time you go to say, why is this happening to me? Change that language and start saying, what is this trying to teach me? Mm. What is this teaching me?
Mm.
Because then you stop seeing things as happening to you and you start seeing things as happening for you.
Mm.
And that, like, that is so, and it's, you know, everyone slips. I slip every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
Why me?
Yeah.
Why is this traffic happening to me? Or whatever it is.
Yes, yes.
But,
I actually ask my clients and myself, instead of the question why, because we never know, like, we don't have the power to don't have the power or resources to go all the way back before, you know, when she was conceived, and find it, and, you know, going to the ancestors and find out why, like, this is the reason. So the why is
a possible question.
But there's another question that you can ask yourself, and that is a way of cultivating self-love and acceptance, is how.
Okay.
Instead of saying, why this happened to me, why did I do that, ask yourself and get curious, ask, how can I change this, whatever it is, about me that I don't like, or I want to a better version of myself. I want to, I personally have, you know, I don't appreciate it when people say, you know, to other people, if someone says, I don't like that I'm overweight. And I say, oh no, you should love yourself. You should love yourself. That person says, I don't like that I'm overweight. By saying, oh, you should love yourself, you're actually telling them what you're saying is wrong.
Yeah, or when people go, oh, like, I'm fat, and you're not fat. And it's like, fat's not a dirty word.
Exactly.
It's not wrong.
Exactly.
It's okay.
Exactly.
I can say
so
that.
So instead, you can ask that person, how do you want it to be? Like, that makes you to be happy.
Yeah.
Get curious instead of giving them
shutting down.
The shutting down. This is where, because that person is not dumb. That person is intelligent and knows that, well, I know I am overweight. And you're telling me, oh, no, you're not fat.
Yeah.
I know I am overweight.
Yeah.
I want to be losing the weight. Help them to, okay.
Yeah.
So you know this. You're accepting this about yourself. How you want to change it?
Yeah.
Do you need to change it?
Yeah.
Is this something that you would like to achieve? What is it that you want to achieve?
Yeah.
That's your question you're asking. What is it that, you know, you wanna change in your life? So unfortunately, we either have been in the process of shut down.
Yeah.
Or the other way, like exaggerating whatever situation that we are in. We never get to what really is on that moment, the feeling. So this is living in the moment is so important to analyze, to understand the moment, what I feel right now. And it's valid. That feeling is valid. So don't let anyone tell you that's acceptance.
Yeah.
That, exactly. That is acceptance.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone to tell you, oh, but the feeling you're feeling, by the way, this is not...
Not right.
Not right.
Yeah, it's like, how would you know?
They're not living your life.
Yeah.
You're living your life. You feel it is not right. Accept it. I don't feel right. How can I change it?
Yeah. Yeah. What was really great about the retreat as well is sometimes tasks like you need to cultivate self-esteem, sometimes that feels like such a big task and it feels impossible. It feels like an Everest.
Mm.
But something that I realized, and it was when we did that regression back into our childhood,
mm.
is that self-love is automatic. There's just blockages that arrive in adulthood. You don't have to create self-love. You just have to remove the blocks.
Yes.
Because it's flowing already from... Because children, they have that for themselves.
Mm.
Children are curious. They validate their feelings. They're not like, is it rocky? Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
You have that feeling already. Mm. You just... You block it
yeah.
bit by bit as you yeah. grow older. And you yeah. go through traumas yes. and you go through experiences. Yes. So yes. unpacking the traumas, which is what you're saying, writing out those negative thoughts, those are the blockages.
Yes. Yes. That's and you blocking. Can do that by your therapist.
Yeah.
This is going to be, is daunting because people think they have to do it all alone. By themselves.
Yes.
But
yeah.
you can do it with your therapist. And I love that scene in the movie Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
When the therapist told the boy, the young boy, it's not your fault.
Yeah, that's a powerful scene.
It's a powerful scene, and I love it so much because that moment, you know what happened to that boy? He accepted.
Mm.
That moment, he stopped questioning why.
Mm. Mm.
That moment that he realized it's not his fault. This is the moment you stop questioning.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
I accept it. Let's move forward. Now, how I can live my life that makes me feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
How I can love myself instead of why I don't love myself.
Mm.
Why? I can't tell you why.
Yeah.
I don't have the resources. You don't have the resources.
Yeah.
You will never remember what happened when you were in your mom's belly. You would never have access to those information.
Yeah.
You would never know that if you were, you know, in your mom's belly and mom and dad were fighting and saying, oh, this child was the biggest mistake.
Mm, and now you have that trauma.
And you have that trauma. You have that, like, I'm not loved.
Yeah. I'm not wanted.
I'm not wanted.
And you don't know where it's coming from. Yeah.
You never know. So stop asking yourself why.
Yeah.
I have everything, but why?
And you know, what's fascinating is when we had our retreat, sorry, I keep bringing up the retreat. This is what I've been like in the real world outside of this podcast room as well. But the retreat that you ran it with a co-host, Veda, and she's amazing. And she's a spiritual, just amazing angel.
Yogi.
Yes, she's a yogi. And she was the spiritual side and you were the psychotherapist side. And together it was really amazing because... The combination was powerful, but I loved that you guys were talking about the same things, just different ways.
Mm.
She would say, it's your chakras. And you would say, it's your nervous system. And if you draw the diagram, it looks the exact same on the human body.
Yes.
And even just now talking about trauma that's passed down to you in the womb.
Mm.
For Veda, for her, she would say, it's from another lifetime.
Mm.
I'm carrying this wound from a different lifetime.
Mm.
And that's true.
Yeah.
Because you were in your mother's womb while she was in her mother's womb.
Mm. Mm.
So that's two lifetimes away.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your grandmother's trauma. So I love that. And I'm so looking forward to our next retreat, which is going to be called The Power of You.
The Power of You.
Which is going to be absolutely incredible. I'm so excited. I'm locking my ticket in now. let everyone be a witness.
Yes.
We'll announce it shortly on Instagram.
Looking
so make sure you follow us. And thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And I hope that this just made a little bit of a You know, open another door. I think knowledge is very powerful.
Yeah.
So often people are confused. So I hope this podcast, it helps you to stop being confused. Why in one instant I am good, in another instant I'm not good? Because when you are not good, perhaps that's the self-esteem. With confidence, you can build it.
Yeah.
You can, for example, become a
great good piano player, or get great at makeup, or get really good at whatever, yeah.
Or a public speaker, yeah. And, you know, become well. Public speaking is a good exercise, good example.
I love public speaking.
Yes.
I'm one of those weirdos. I love public speaking. Yes.
Speaking, even though there are people years in the game of public speaking, still before they get on the stage, they feel nervous.
Mm.
They get, you know, anxious.
You.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
This is because you also have to identify, is it excitement or is
it
anxiety?
Is it adrenaline?
Is it excitement? So most of the time it's
a combo.
It's a combination of both of them. But this is the difference between confidence and self-esteem.
Yeah. It's a great example. Yes. So confidence needs to be built. And self-esteem just needs to be unlocked. It just needs to be unblocked. If you get the traumas and the negative self-talk and the questions, and if you get that out of the way,
and acceptance.
If you just create a path of acceptance,
yes,
self-esteem flourishes on its own. Mm. So that's the key takeaway.
Yes,
I love that. So
absolutely,
much.
Many times it's. It's very important because people often like beat themselves because of the past and because of the things they did and because of that beating they don't love themselves.
Yeah, that blocks your self-esteem.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I tell these people, look, you probably what you did was you were in fault.
Yeah.
But it's not your fault.
Mm.
So that's if you understand that whatever you're doing, so yes, taking responsibility is number one.
Yeah.
To release the pressure.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that
the whole thing needs to be on your head.
It's on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the decisions we're making may it look and sounds like I have the will to do things, but the truth is that you're not.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, as always, guys, make sure to check out our Instagram for any upcoming announcements.
Hmm.
And check out our website if you'd like to book a one-on-one session at www.theprojectofyou.com.au.
Absolutely. And stay tuned because soon we will release the information for the next retreat.
Yes.
Go to our website and see what other attendees said about this retreat.
Mm-hmm.
We all loved it and I'm looking forward to the next retreat.
Me too. Thanks, guys. See you next time.